Hello all, this is Isaac with Hour to Kill, and you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. Got some good tracks tonight, got some soulful tracks. A couple weeks ago, I did a show that was themed around punk, a little bit of post-punk, a little bit of punk-adjacent music that kind of came before and after. And some of that was an exercise in order to, for me, explore different genre I had interest in but hadn't delved into some of the roots of. Something similar here. So first off, we're going with Dionne Warwick, I Say a Little Prayer, then we go to Gladys Knight, and the one and only, the legend, Aretha. After that, first, I Say a Little Prayer.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk home in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part, oh how I'll love you. Together, together, that's how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for you.
I run for the bus, dear, while riding I think of us, dear. I say a little prayer for you. At work I just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you.
Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part, oh how I'll love you. Together, together, that's how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for me. Answer my prayer, yeah.
So you just heard Dionne Warwick's I Say a Little Prayer, which was written by Burke Bacharach and Hal David for her, and was immediately an immense success. Here, I'm gonna just do some background in each of these songs, but I'll intro the other two as well. Gladys Knight and the Pips, I heard it through the grapevine, their version, and Aretha Franklin, Think. I Say a Little Prayer, as I said, written by Burke Bacharach and Hal David, iconic duo. That was her written specifically for her. And then I heard it through the grapevine is interesting because it was written for, I think this the backstory is these kind of songs that became obviously very successful and iconic, but the way they're written is just interesting as an example of like how the studio system used to work, I guess. Like this song, I heard it through the grapevine, was written for Motown in 66, wasn't released as a single until 67 when this version, the Gladys Knight version, came out. Other versions had been recorded before that. There was just the first to come out. Which, just a little, also fun fact, that was their version, Gladys Knight's, most successful single in Motown history up to that point, until Marvin Gaye's single version came out like 2 years later and blew that record away. So people love this song, and as they should, because it's deservedly gone down as one of the like best songs ever. And then Think, unlike the others, written by Aretha Franklin herself and another songwriter. Yeah. I don't think there's anything I could say about her that has not been said a million times before. The greatest, like, certainly for popular music, the greatest vocalist out there. I don't think you can come up with anybody who really touches her. It's just absolutely incredible. All right, enough of me talking, enough backstory. This next song has enough talking in of itself, even at this edited version. It's By the Time I Get to Phoenix by Isaac Hayes, which in a way is a cover of an existing, I think it was initially a country song and got covered a couple times by different songwriters, different versions. But his definitely takes a big reworking of it, and it's really interesting. I'll just play it now to listen.
I'm talking about the power of love now. I'm gonna tell you what love can do. You know when they say love makes the world go round, that's the truth. Now I want your imagination. I want you to travel with me. This young man was raised in the hills of Tennessee. When he reached the age of maturity, he moved to the West Coast. And he fell in love when he got out there to this young girl. And then the inevitable came engaged and they were married. Oh, the power of love was upon him. But you see, girls, I don't mean to come down on you. But this man loved this woman so he could see no wrong, no, no, no. spent his last dime on a woman because he loved her. And you know, girls, you can take love and kindness sometimes for weakness. And she took it for granted. And she tipped out on it. She said, nobody gonna believe what you tell him, no way. Fool. Oh yeah, girls, you do like that sometimes. But one day, old boy got sick. And he had to come home. I don't have to tell you what he found. Oh, it hurt him so bad. He said, baby, mama, why? That's all he could say. But she said, oh, gone, fool, you doing it. But the man wasn't doing it, but that's the only excuse she could give him. He said, mama, I can't take it. I got to leave you. I'm gonna leave you. Well, she tried to straighten up. She said she was going to straighten up. She got a little job to help him out with the bills, too. But that was just a sham. Because he found it again and again. And 7 times he left this woman. And 7 times he came back. And he had taken all that he could stand. And the 8th time that this went down, he said, Mom, I got to go. He said, I'm leaving my heart right here. And he's been going down the highway. I guess it was around 3:30 in the morning. He could hardly see the road, the tears in his eyes. He could barely see the sign that read on the side of the road. The next town, 125 miles away. And these very words came into his mind. Said, by the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Oh, and she'll find a note I left hanging on the door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving. Yes, she will. Why? 'Cause I've left that girl so many times before. Oh, by the time probably stop at lunch just to give her sweet goodbye a call. Oh, she'll hear the phone keep right on ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, oh, and ringing off the wall. Mama, 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 that's all. And by the time I get to Oklahoma, she'll be sleeping. She'll turn softly in her restless sleep. Call my name. She'll cry just to think I would really leave. But time after time after time after time and time again, I tried to tell her so, but she was a non-believer. believe I would really go. Oh no, I hate to leave you, baby. Yes, I do. I really, really, really hate to go. Oh yeah.
So that was the Isaac Hayes version of "By the Time I Get to Phoenix." You heard the single edit. The original version on the album Hot Buttered Soul, goes for 18 minutes and 40 seconds. And there's a lot more of an intro, just space in between the sections, and it does feel its length, but I think it's very interesting. And that album was recorded with, I was mentioning earlier, there was so much studio control, so much of a studio structure, but for that album, I believe the distributors, they had lost their back catalog from some legal issues, so a lot of their studio musicians were suddenly freed up to have to go record something so they could put something out. And they were giving a lot less oversight, and Isaac Hayes had already released something that wasn't received well, and he could do it a completely different direction. And that's what he did with Hot Buttered Soul, and it was pretty successful. So just think that's interesting. I think the story of the song in general as well is a story of just kind of how artistic inspiration can happen and repurposing can make something really new, because that's originally written by a guy named Jimmy Webb, a different country artist, recorded it in 65. A different one on 67 actually gained some attention. Those are already multiple different interpretations. It gets to Isaac Hayes. There's multiple other covers. Also, Isaac Hayes and Dionne Warwick played the two songs I played today, By the Time I Get to Phoenix and I Say a Little Prayer, as a medley when they performed live a couple times, and that's interesting. I think that's fun. That wasn't intended, but that's interesting. But the last step of this song's kind of series of influences and inspirations is the 2021 Injury Reserve album, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, which is named after this song, this Isaac Hayes version, because one of the members of Injury Reserve sadly passed away during the making of that album. One of his last suggestions was that they repurpose this title to fit kind of the themes of that album, and it really is very fitting. But I think it's very interesting how that one original written song went through all these phases of evolution and repurposing, with the core of it was still so compelling and interesting, and to, I don't know, have life through all that. Maybe I'm over-explaining it, but I just think that's... All these songs, I think, have very rich... Every song has some amount of backstory behind it, but I think all of these, just the details are just very interesting to me. Anyway, enough talking. Up next is another classic. It's all classics, really. But this is maybe the biggest song I'll play, for sure. You've definitely heard this one before. It's Ain't No Sunshine. Sunshine by Bill Withers.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, 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 I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Goes away.
That was Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers, written by Bill Withers as well, and Just My Imagination, Running Away With Me by The Temptations, written by the same Whitfield and Strong duo that wrote, I heard it through the grapevine, obviously both for Motown. And through the show so far, I've played in a roughly, and for the rest of it, I think, it's roughly chronological order, the idea is. Like the first couple songs were 67, now we're up to 71. A few more from that year, which was really a very prolific year for Motown. But it's the original idea when I put it together was like, oh, we'll see an evolution. And I think there's just too many kind of disparate styles that all, and different extremely creative people who are doing slightly different things, even if it's at the same time, to really chart one solid path. I still think it's interesting, this kind of small period of time where all these artists were so prolific and managed to be so, I mean, pretty consistent while being prolific as well, but also just how different everything operated is interesting. Anyway, this next one, it certainly had a lot of success. Marvin Gaye off What's Going On is Flying High in the Friendly Sky.
Without ever leaving and have laid their bodies down. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. I go to the place where danger awaits me. Oh, no. And it's bound to forsake me. So stupid minded. Oh, I can't help it. So stupid. But I go crazy when I can't find it. In the morning, be alright, my friend. But soon the night will bring the pain. Instructions in my head, oh Lord, so stupid minded.
Help me,
oh Lord. But I go crazy when I can't find it. A friendless sky. Oh, 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 oh. Ah. Ooh. Ooh. Fly high. Say you do.
see, baby, I've been thinking about it, yeah. And I've been wanting to get next to you, baby. You see, sometime I fool moms, I say,
Vicky, how are you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
That was Flying High in the Friendly Sky, Marvin Gaye, and Tired of Being Alone, Al Green, and a little public service announcement. Flying High in the Friendly Sky, of course, a song about drug use, and I think it's just very poetically put. And then Tired of Being Alone, written by Al Green, also extremely successful. There's a little thing here, using a lot of Wikipedia research, I'm going to be honest, for this episode, folks. This song reached number 11 at its peak on the Hot 100, yet was the top number 12 song for the year, according to Billboard. And it was the 7th highest charting soul song, which means soul was just dominant at that point in time on the charts. Not really that surprising information, just, again, just noting where we were at then versus now, it's interesting. I don't know. Anyway, That Lady by the Isley Brothers. This is a little bit of a, not a massive stylistic change, but this is a little closer to funk, as inspired by, as I say, yeah, they toured with Hendrix in the 60s, and as they changed their sound later on, added a guitarist, added, you know, more people into the performing group, they realized, we can rework this old song, give it a different feel. And that's That Lady, and I'm going to play it for you right now. Enjoy That Lady by the Isley Brothers off 3 Plus 3.
String, and if she'd wanna bring, I would give her anything if she would try.
Was That Lady, parts 1 and 2 by the Isley Brothers, originally recorded as Who's That Lady in 1964, interestingly enough, and then completely reworked 9 years later after adding another brother, Ernie, to the band as a guitarist and a couple other people. For that song, they even scouted out drummers, specific Ghanaian percussionists. I don't know. Interesting stuff, the behind-the-scenes work to just put together a specific sound. Covered. When I hear that, I always think of I by Kendrick Lamar, because that sample is maybe the most memorable. I mean, it's a memorable song, but I think it stands out the most. It's so core to what that song is. And it reworked well. It's also sampled in a Beastie Boys song, but I'm not as familiar with them as Kendrick. Anyway, this next one also a little bit longer than some of the stuff we played, about 5 minutes. This is Stevie Wonder, who is, I feel like, too talented. Merely a lot of these guys, a lot of these performers are too talented to be put into one category, but I think, you know, he fits with everyone else here pretty self-evidently, mainly because it's just really good. Here's Don't Worry About a Thing.
Cindy, Mama, you understand that?
No.
Well, like, I don't understand how you can, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very fluent Spanish. Todo está bien chévere. You understand that?
Bien chévere.
Chévere.
Bien
chévere. Is that right, Mama?
Yeah,
because I got my shaking room on the other thing.
Everybody's got a thing. Some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say you're stopping. A drag, and that you must go other places. But just don't you feel too bad when you get fooled by smiling faces. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The time wouldn't try to find us.
Didn't we run?
Didn't
That was Don't You Worry About a Thing by Stevie Wonder off Inner Visions, and Touch Me in the Morning by Diana Ross off Touch Me in the Morning. Both coming out in 1973. Don't You Worry About a Thing, obviously written with more of a Latin influence, mixing a lot of things together. Got a kind of funny intro. Great song. Incredible chorus that note he holds is just incredible. And then Diana Ross, I mean, fascinating. One, this song is just great, but she's also, her career is just fascinating. There's so much that she did so successfully that it's hard to almost get into it all, but I got sidetracked a little into her little film career, which is interesting. So this song came out at, she had a lot of fame, but this is maybe close to her, peak. It was the second number one solo hit, coming out after her first movie had come out, where she played Billie Holiday, Lady Sings the Blues, which was successful, mostly, it seems, in spite of the script. I haven't watched it, but she is incredible in it. And then the follow-up movie I thought was interesting, called Mahogany, which was originally going to be directed by this guy, Tony Richardson, who had directed a lot of pretty well-received kind of smaller-scale films and plays in Britain. Hired by Motown, comes over. In pre-production, Gordy fires him, the head of Motown. And then Berry Gordy he takes over the director's chair himself. He's just like, all right, I'll do it. So Berry Gordy has a direction credit. The movie's not very good, and because, obviously, there's naturally going to be some conflicts between Berry Gordy and Diana Ross. This is just, they were working her hard and obviously going to have some different creative ideas. So they clash. She leaves the production before the movie's over, and they have to use someone else as a body double to finish shooting it. It doesn't go very well, but the theme from it sells like crazy because people love Diana Ross. I'm not going to delve too much into that stuff, but that was a little sidetrack. I just thought it was interesting that Berry Gordy has a directing credit. We don't have a lot of time left here before I hand the reins over to Hey Butterfingers, which you should stick around for. I got... I'm going to keep talking for a little bit here. Keep you on the mic. Keep it loose, and then I'm going to play a James Brown song to close it out, because I could not play a James Brown song today. I'm glad I ended up going on this direction with the show. I didn't really know what I was going to do this time yesterday, and it just kind of evolved naturally, so that's nice. You know what? I don't know if I want to fill too much more time. I'm going to play this song, and then I'll just figure out what to do from there. This is The Boss by James Brown off the soundtrack to Black Caesar. Here you go.
One, two, get down! Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me, you know what to see. See a bad mother. Look at me, you know what to see. See a bad mother. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me, know what to see. See a bad mother. Huh. Huh. Told you so. Having fun, got money, fun. 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 Cause I paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost. Paid the cost to be the boss. I'm a bad.
That, of course, was The Boss by James Brown. We just got not very much time left, so I'm going to play Respect by Aretha Franklin and leave it there. Have a good night, everybody. We got some excited reactions here. Have a good night, everyone. Enjoy. Hey, Butterfingers, and I'll see you next week at the same time.